Good morning and welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. My headphones are getting all tied up here. Show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important topic, very important person here today. Chris Medina, Executive Director of Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity is here. Hello, Chris.
Hello. I'm always excited to be here.
Well, I'm very glad you could be here because you just got back from a very important trip to Uganda.
I did.
How was the trip?
It was phenomenal. I went to visit Habitat for Humanity, Uganda. They have been in business there for 35 years and have served 20,000 families, most of those of single-family homes. They currently build four-room homes. They don't have public water or sewer, so the homes are built just as they are with a water tank and then an outdoor facilities for bathing and a latrine system. But the families out there, the villages we went to, they work so hard in community, something that was inspirational for here.
I bet. And do different Habitat for your Humanities travel to see how the other ones are doing and pick up ideas and help and stuff like that?
We do. Habitat International has a program called Global Village, and the public can go on these trips. So you can go to habitat.org and just pull up Global Villages and see the different countries that we go to. Our affiliate, Pikes Peak, we had a global village to Trinidad and Tobago last year where we took some new volunteers to go with us. And on some most global villages, you're going to build with the families. This
Wow.
one was educational for us.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And it gives a different perspective, doesn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
But here back at home, there's a lot of great work that not only Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity, but Habitat for Humanities up and down Colorado and across the country are doing. But with that also, and it helps get families into homes, doesn't it? Give us an overview for those that don't know what Habitat does.
So Habitat for Humanity is an affordable home builder as well as a mortgage company. So we will select the families. There are three criteria that all families must meet. They must have a need, which means they're cost burdened, is one. So they're paying more than 35% of their income towards rent. They may be in an overcrowded situation or an unsafe, unhealthy situation. They also have to have an ability to pay because they do have a mortgage.
Yeah, generally, there's a mortgage to it.
Absolutely. So it is not a freebie. Many people are under the impression that Habitat builds homes and gives them away for free. So we are a mortgage lender and all of our families must be U.S. citizens. So they've got their green card, their permanent residence, or they're a citizen. So they have to qualify for the mortgage and have a job and have lived in this county for a year to qualify for a
price. In El Paso County. Okay.
And then beyond that, they have to be willing to partner. So most of our families are not going to have monies for down payments. They do have to save $2,000. The first $1,000 is for their homeowner's mortgage insurance, or homeowner's insurance that's going to come up. And then they have $1,000 as a buy-in to their home. So that's their down payment. But the sweat equity is what really builds the community.
Yeah, define the sweat equity because that's a big, important part of this, isn't it?
It is. So each person who's going to be on the title of the home has to put in 200 hours of sweat equity on their home, their neighbor's home, or at our ReStore. And that is their way for a down payment. So instead of the 3-5% in FHA or 20% down payment cash, down payment that you would have to have under a traditional mortgage, they're putting in sweat equity. And so for most of our families, that's about 25 hours a month over the 10 months it takes to build a Habitat home. So they're giving up 2.5 weekends. And when you think about that, that's a lot of time away from kids, jobs, and taking care of whatever they've got to do in their life.
But, and you kind of brought up some of the misconceptions. You touched on one of them at least, is that Habitat gives away these homes.
They do.
But there's other misconceptions that go along with it as well, aren't there?
Yes. Unfortunately, many people think that a Habitat home, because it's listed as an affordable, low-income home, means poverty home. And that is not the case. Our homes are solidly built. They're very energy efficient. Most of our homeowners' energy bills are $40 or less a month, even in the winter. So Habitat homes on the Gulf State, they actually have surpassed and sustained hurricane winds. So they're solid. A lot of that has to do with our volunteers who are overly enthusiastic about putting lots of nails in. They love to nail things. But our homes, they're solid. And our homeowners are taught to keep them up. They're given a number of education classes on how to be a good neighbor. So when you build in a neighborhood, as our affiliate does, you're building on each other's homes, and you're getting to know your neighbors, and you're lifting one another up. And all of our neighborhoods have an HOA. So they're learning, what does an HOA mean? Because this is a huge culture change for our families. So they're taking care of the homes they've helped build. So it's not poverty, unkept houses for the most part.
Okay.
We may have some that choose not to keep up, but all of us have neighbors that may do that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I remember my neighbor. Wait. We all have them.
Absolutely. So affordable housing is not poverty housing.
Do you think that's a big misconception in our community and across the board?
I do. I think even with other partner agencies that we work with, such as Gratio, Partners in Housing, as soon as somebody hears we're moving into the area, they don't look at the product that we're building. They start talking about those people. Well, I happen to have been one of those people. And I'm a very successful businesswoman, and I've come a long way from what I grew up with. And my parents did the best they could. They didn't always have everything we needed. But, here I am leading an organization to meet the needs of families. And by having affordable housing, whether it's through Gratio Partners in Housing, Salvation Army, a number of entities that are lifting people up, by having decent, affordable housing, then people are no longer stressing about medical bills because they have that. They can be proactive on their housing. They can be proactive on education. The majority of Habitat homeowners' children graduate from high school, and that exceeds the state average of a 79% graduation level. And then those parents go on to continue their education, and that lifts them up in their careers.
Absolutely.
So lots of moving pieces to this.
And when we come back, I do want to touch on, the median kind of income of the average homeowner.
Okay.
Because there are requirements, aren't there?
Yes.
I mean, there's kind of requirements. And then we also need to move to some state-level stuff, a House bill that's in appropriations right now, and the advocacy that is being done with your organization and others, because we do have a housing problem right now, don't we? Affordable housing problem.
Across the country, definitely locally.
Yeah. So we'll have more with Chris Medina, Executive Director of Habitat, Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity, next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with the Executive Director of Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. Chris Medina is here. Chris, we've got so much to touch on. My brain is going like, wait, where do we go next? Where do we go next? Let's stick locally, and then we'll talk about House Bill 1195, if that's okay. But you guys have partnered, you're working with other agencies, other organizations, other groups, and there's some areas that looking on expanding here in our own city. And developing, right? Like the mill house, the mill street, that area. And also trying to help teachers, right, as well, get into some affordable housing. Because it's a struggle. Let's face it, our teachers really, their salaries are not outstanding.
No, they are not. So Habitat serves people 35% to 80% of the area median income. So for a family of four under the 2017 guidelines, that's about $58,900 for a family of four. And a lot of people say, wow, that's a great salary. I can't
understand. On a family of four?
Right. There's a misperception when they hear the dollar amounts versus when you look at our median house price, which is, quickly approaching $300,000. And rents are between $1,100 and $1,400 for a single room, a single bedroom. That's, a well-kept unit. So we're having difficulties statewide and locally in recruiting qualified teachers, have issues with police, with first responders coming in and finding a home that they can afford.
Right.
So a lot of these folks, they may potentially qualify for a Habitat home. So what we're looking at doing in collaboration, not only, and honestly, collaboration is the key. There is no one single source that's going to solve everything.
Okay.
So we collaborate with other not-for-profits in the area, especially on advocacy. And then looking for land. Can we share land? Can we share staff? So we're collaborating with a couple of school districts. One is Harrison 2 on it's basically a construction, hands-on construction program for students. But in hopes that also we can figure out a way to acquire land, whether it's with any of the school districts. Can we acquire land together and Habitat work with them to build the homes for school district staff? And then figure out a way, school district staff comes in, as well as we need housing for other homeowners within that, or staff within that same income level.
Right.
How can we work together to solve these problems? Do we send out an email to all of the district staff or students' parents saying, hey, we have a repair program. One is specific to veterans. One is specific to just general folks who qualify. They would have to qualify. But to keep a house affordable, you have to keep it up. A lot of people are struggling with medical bills. They're working two jobs. They may have major car repair. They may have had a job loss. They can't keep that house up. So they think, okay, I'll sell it and I'll make a lot of money because we have a lot of external investors coming in and they're buying the properties. They're turning them into Airbnbs or rentals. And so these families, they've sold their home. They think they've made all this money. And next thing they know, they can't afford to buy here.
I was going to say they've realized they can't buy another house, purchase another house, right?
So another piece of affordable housing is we help them to keep the home maintained. And when you're, whether it's weatherization, you're replacing a roof, we work in partnership with Energy Resource Center. They'll come in and do internal assessments and possibly replace insulation and furnaces. And so if you can reduce the amount that's going out on their utility bills, and you can reduce the amount of money that's going out of pocket to try to maintain the outside of the home, then Habitat's helping to maintain that affordable housing stock because people aren't living subpar. Tons of their money going out on utility bills that shouldn't be, so they can come back to hopefully reinvesting in their home and keeping it up. So there's a variety of things on that. When you think of the people who are taking care of our children in preschool, and they're making about $27,000 a year, or police officers on average here in Colorado Springs between $49,000 to $58,000, the broader our population grows, the more we're going to need service-oriented people, safety, first responders, and our teachers, and we can't recruit them if they can't find affordable, safe housing.
Because the salary, and this is across the board, it's not just these particular, but salaries are not keeping up with the cost of living and housing.
I just saw a study yesterday that out of 11 counties in Colorado, there is only one that is considered affordable housing, where people are not paying more than 35% of their income, and that is Pueblo County.
Is that the only county?
That is the only county of 11 counties.
And I think some of them, and that same, I think Douglas County was the highest, if correct me if I'm wrong. And that was, a lot of it was 56% of their income was going to housing. I think we saw the same study. That's a lot.
How are you going to eat healthy? How are you going to be proactive on your medical? How are you going to keep your car maintained when you're just trying to keep a roof over your head?
Right. Well, and the thing is, and we've had this conversation before, because this is a continuing conversation with city leaders and organizations, and we know that the mayor is concerned that he doesn't want us to turn into this, but, you know, and everybody's trying to do their part to help bring affordable housing here. But we also know if you talk to people, a lot of them say, I am one paycheck away from being homeless. Right. That's the reality of it.
It is. And there again, there is no one entity that can solve this problem. But for example, the Colorado Springs City Council and El Paso County Commissioners are very supportive of Habitat and affordable housing institutions. And they come together where they can. The County Commissioners, they approved to lift some restrictions on unincorporated land for tiny homes. Now, tiny homes is not the solution for everyone, and not everyone appreciates tiny homes, and that's fine, but it's a potential solution for one.
And where was it approved at, that area? Do we know?
Unincorporated.
Okay.
So there's, I've got a list somewhere, but I don't have it with me.
That's fine.
And then City of Colorado Springs, City Council is phenomenally supportive of Habitat and has been since our beginning 31 years ago. What we are working with the city right now is Mill Street Neighborhood Revitalization Plan.
And tell everybody where Mill Street is.
Mill Street is just south of the Drake Power Plant. It's one of the oldest neighborhoods in Colorado Springs. So you have a lot of 1800 era to probably up to the 1970s homes that are in there. There isn't any major thoroughfares. There are businesses there that are producing jobs, but it's limited. So this little neighborhood that's tucked away needs a lot of TLC right now. So the city pulled together a group from the Mill Street Neighborhood Association and local businesses that are in that area and not-for-profits, including Habitat, to say, okay, let's think about what does this neighborhood want? What are their goals? What are the issues that they're seeing? And how can we come together to help solve this together? Not one source, not the city, ponying up all the money, not one nonprofit, just how let's do it together. So that plan should be sent out by the city sometime towards the end of this month.
So they're still working on the plan and putting it together to revitalize that Mill Street area.
They are.
That's fantastic.
And the city has put in new curbs and sidewalks, and so accessibility for that, because there are a number of seniors in there who have mobility issues. So this way they can get out of their homes and they go meet their neighbors, and that helps increase safety when you get to know your neighbors.
It absolutely does. And you know what, Chris, we have to take a news break. And when we come back, I know we've got so much to talk about, but we do need to talk about House Bill 1195. It's a very important bill, isn't it?
Absolutely. Statewide.
And we'll talk about that when we come back with Chris Medina, Executive Director of Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity, next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning and welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're chatting with Executive Director of the Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. Chris Medina is here. And there's a couple of very important bills that are going on, correct, Chris?
Yes.
Should we start with the House bill? Probably a good idea, yeah?
Yep.
Colorado House Bill 181195. It is in appropriations right now, and if this bill is passed, it would impact the entire state.
It will. It is specific to affordable housing builders, and what it is, it's creating a tax credit similar to an enterprise zone credit, if you're familiar with that. So what it will do is, if it passes, a donor can write a check up to a maximum of the tax credit would be $250,000. So they could write a check up to $500,000 to a nonprofit such as Habitat that is an affordable home builder, and then they can have 50% of that donation becomes a tax credit. So it comes right off of their total taxes.
So the 15%.
50.
Oh,
it's
I thought
huge.
You said 15.
50.
Because isn't that part of this is incentivizing people to build affordable housing?
It is.
Okay.
It is. So that money generated by that tax credit would be managed by Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. And then each person who makes that type of donation will get a certificate, and they include that on their tax return. But a 50% tax
credit.
That's
huge.
It is huge. And so those funds that come in to the individual nonprofits that receive those donations, they can turn around and build homes with it. So we're very much hoping that this will pass.
And it would hopefully incentivize more home builders to start building.
Not-for-profit home builders, because
yes.
Because it is a tax donation to a not-for-profit. Now, it's statewide. It's being supported on both sides of the aisle.
Okay.
And it has zoomed through from finance to appropriations, and it should be being heard again at the end of next week, I believe. So,
and then the vote should come soon.
So, folks, when you're listening, those of you who are frustrated and think your vote doesn't count, your voice doesn't count, it absolutely does, because we have so many voices who've been advocating for this. Businesses, local banks have been calling, and they are supporting the right for people to have affordable housing. So to do this, it's going to benefit the donor. They get the tax credit. It benefits the entities that receive the monies who can build affordable homes. So use your voice. Call, get your school district to support this. Get your local folks to call your local legislators, your state legislators. Get anybody you think that has a voice that will support this calling our state and saying, please pass House Bill 181195. Now, there's a second one that's out there.
But this is a Senate bill.
Second one is a Senate bill.
Okay.
And it's 18007, and that's an affordable housing tax credit as well. But it was specifically originally for low-income housing tax credits that were set to expire in 2019. So this House bill will extend the tax credits to 2024, and what it does is it continues to incentivize those who, not necessarily not-for-profit, it's for-profit companies that will come in and build affordable housing. So this is something.
So it would, for developers to say.
Correct.
Incentivize them to maybe help participate in building affordable housing.
Yes. Okay. And that's a statewide push as well.
Okay. And do we know where that one is, the Senate Bill 18007?
It's also in appropriations.
Okay. Perfect. So, I mean, these are very important, and I know a lot of people might be like, I don't understand all of this, but it's affecting the entire state, the country right now.
And if you have questions about it, shoot me an email, and I will provide you information. I can even provide you a template on how to email the different people you would like to call and support these two bills. And let me give you my email real
fast. Oh, absolutely. Sorry.
So it's Chris, K-R-I-S, at pikespeakhabitat.org. And let's get your voices working.
And let's talk about, with both the House bill and the Senate bill, Chris, what are the long-term impacts to a community, to the economy of a community, when affordable, decent housing is put into that community?
So many people, it's another misperception that when you have one homeowner receiving an affordable house, whether they're building with Habitat or they're receiving a deed restricted property, or they're working with Rocky Mountain Community Land Trust, or renting, say through Gray Shore Partners in Housing. When you're in a decent, affordable place to live, it reduces medical issues such as asthma, because generally it's kept up and it's cleaner. You can be proactive on your medical. You have less going out towards housing. So you can go to the doctor and say, hey, I feel sick, not waiting to go to the ER. It dramatically reduces people's reliance on public assistance. So for every dollar that's donated into affordable housing, it generates $5.60 in monies going back into the community. When you look at the return on that $5.60 going into the community and how that's generating more revenue, which is tax revenue, which helps the city to thrive, it ends up generating more than $11 statewide. So $1 of affordable housing generated is extremely beneficial economically to the state. It also helps our children succeed in school. When they're not having to move from school to school and they're stable and they're with their classmates, they're not losing their friends, it helps reduce their stress. It helps address mental health issues. We're finding behavioral issues have gone down dramatically with those who are in stable, affordable housing. And then the parents also have an opportunity to go back to school. And as they go back to school, then they are increasing their roles in moving up in whatever career that they have. So that's helping them to become financially more sustainable. 28% of Habitat homeowners, actually, the number of voters increases by 28% with our Habitat homeowners. So they're becoming more civically involved. They know their neighbors. They know what they want in their neighborhood. They know what they want in their city. They've become property taxpayers. They feel that they have a right for a voice. Yeah. And so they're utilizing that. You're also seeing folks who are not working 2 and 3 jobs, which is a mental health, a physical health, and a crisis to the families because they're not seeing each other.
Right.
So they're more together, and you're getting that family stability.
So, I mean, it is a good impact because I know, and the city has talked about it, and you guys are talking about Mill Street and working on that area and other areas in the county and the city, and everybody's trying to come together. And they're trying to diversify the locations because it also helps people I know who maybe, say, their job's up north, but they can only afford to live in another part of town on the other end.
Right.
And that creates problems as well.
It does.
So it's trying to diversify as well, right, the locations for these, isn't it?
Correct. When you look at School District 8, which is down by Fort Carson, a number of their teachers live up north. That's where their housing is. Well, to make that commute every day down to Fountain, that's wear and tear on your body and on your car and on your home life. So how can we diversify neighborhoods and bring in more affordable housing throughout the city? Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Chris about ways to get the entire community involved. Because as we've talked about, at this point, it takes everybody.
It does.
And we'll talk about that when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're talking with Chris Medina, Executive Director of Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. And we were kind of talking about, we know right now, to try and address the affordable, especially here in the city in El Paso County, everybody is coming together to try and address this, aren't they?
I believe they are.
And that's what has to happen.
Absolutely.
And I know you guys partner with and work with other organizations, and it kind of help each other out or helps somebody find the organization that helps them best.
Correct.
Okay, because there are a lot of, have you guys seen an increase in applications?
I've been surprised that we haven't had more applications, honestly, but on the home building, we get about between 60 and 100 applications each quarter that we have an application process open. Of that, between 10-15% actually would qualify for our program. Hmm. So one of the issues is we don't have enough land and sponsorships to build homes for all those who actually qualify for the program. So that's why we started the repair program. And this is where you as an individual can help benefit your neighborhood. If you have a neighbor that you're seeing is struggling with external repairs, Habitat only does external repairs. If they're needing landscaping, a roof, their siding, maybe painting, maybe they need a ramp, they have an accessibility issue, then this is where you can use your voice and either talk to your neighbor, and if they're in the income range in between 35 and 80% of the area median income, then they should apply for our repair program. And in this way, not only does it add to their self-esteem because they found out their neighbors care and they want to help them, but it also helps them to get their homes repaired in an affordable manner. So again, Habitat will only do external repairs, and we're doing homes. We're not into mobile homes yet. We don't have the resources for that.
Right.
Has to be homeowner occupied. It cannot be a rental. So, and we have to verify that. And again, so it's the same qualifications. There has to be a need. They have to follow within our income guidelines, and they have to have a willingness to partner with us. So sweat equity on a repair may be that they're sitting there talking with our volunteers. They may be providing nice tea, but it's not as extensive as a home building sweat equity. So it's a way to lift up the neighborhoods, lift up your neighbor, and get to have your one voice count towards affordable housing.
Well, and you never know, your neighbor might have gone through a difficult time. I mean, and that could be why the house on the outside might not be in the best of shape.
Yes.
You know.
So many of our neighbors out there, we have a veteran-specific repair program, so you do need to be a U.S. veteran as an additional qualification. But we're seeing people who are having mental health issues because they've had a job loss, they've had made just huge changes in life, and it's hard to get motivated to get out there and fix your home when you're struggling with trying to find a job, trying to pull your spirits up. You may have a sick parent. You're the sandwich generation. Talk about having a struggle. You're taking care of a parent and a child, and you just don't have the time. And you're working two jobs to make your bills. And as our rents continue to increase and our mortgages are going to go up because of interest rates and honestly just the cost of housing in general, how do you keep up with that? So you need to figure out an affordable way to do it. So our repair program is one of the first things to do. The other is to go to our ReStore, which is on 411 South Wasatch. And there you will find used and new building materials, as well as furniture and appliances. And it's a very affordable way to upscale or repair your home. We get a number of landlords who come through, and that's how they keep their properties up.
Right.
But we're finding more and more homeowners are finding out about us and saying, I didn't know I could replace my whole kitchen cabinets with this. Or, and we have paint that's about half the price. Generally, our prices range between 50 and 80% less than what you'll find on retail. So it's a great way to go in and affordably, little by little, fix up your house. Now, you have to go in there frequently because inventory changes
fast.
Every day. And
yeah.
It changes every day. We never know what's coming in.
And so, what goes. I'm sure it doesn't stay very long.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
It does not. So that's another affordable way.
Right. Absolutely. And you also have different programs that youth can get involved in as well, right?
Yes. Yes, please. So we love our volunteers. You can volunteer at our ReStore or on our construction site. To volunteer on our construction site, you have to be 16 years of age, and that's Habitat across the country. That's an insurance requirement. But if you are a high school student and you're needing community hours, please come out either to the ReStore or on the construction site if you're over 16, and you can get in community service hours there. We also are partnering with Harrison School District 2. Again, it's kind of like a careers in construction program where some high school students are coming out on site for part of one day a week in the mornings, and they are actually helping to build homes. So they're getting that hands-on construction. And Jeff White, who's our COO and is in charge of that program, is figuring out how do we partner with other entities in the city, both school districts and private, on how to get these students the skills they need to become to fill in the positions of construction. Across the country, there is a shortage.
There is, isn't there?
And that's driving up house costs.
Right.
Got to pay more to get the limited skills, so let's
right.
get them in. So, so construction skills with some of the school districts. So that's another one that we're working on.
And really quick, I know we're running out and we didn't have a chance to talk about what other Habitats are doing across the state, but you do have some upcoming program info sessions that if folks would like to get more information, they can go to these sessions, right?
Yeah, and if you don't have a pen and paper with you, feel free to go to our website. You'll see these dates as well. We definitely encourage people to go to these information sessions, and that's how you'll find out how do you qualify for a Habitat home. Where are we building? What are the requirements? So the first one's Friday, April 13th, and that will be at the Ruth Holly Library. Then Monday, April 30th at the Sand Creek Library, and Saturday, May 5th, back at the Ruth Holly Library. We will be accepting applications for our next round of homes. It will be in May. It's May 7th through the 11th, and we will be selecting for new construction, energy-efficient duplexes. And these are 3, 4, or 5-bedroom homes, depending on what size your family would qualify for. So go to our website, and that's Pikes Peak. habitat.org to learn more about our home construction program as well as our veteran and general repair programs.
And again, what's the website again?
PikesPeakHabitat.org.
Chris, it's always great talking with you. Thank you. We still have a lot more to talk about, but...
I need another hour.
I know. Well, we could just keep talking about this, right? Yeah. Chris, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You too.
And coming up tomorrow on The Extra, it's the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio.